Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers. And that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
I've met a lot of strange people in my travels away from San Francisco. Little did I realize that right here in my own hotel, I would meet the most unusual of them all.
Buck Benny, the two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of Gunsmoke and Have Gun Will Travel. We're going to bring them to you together for a while so I can talk about either one I want. We're going to go with Gunsmoke today, and I talked about Kathleen Height is a writer that writes for Gunsmoke. She also writes for Fort Laramie, and she's starting to pick up and write for all the episodes of Fort Laramie now. She writes the last 19 episodes of Fort Laramie in a row. Well, what I think is interesting about her, along with John Meston, is that she can write about as gritty as John Meston can. And I think that might be why he's drawn to use her on the TV show. Anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. There are 20 seasons of Gunsmoke for television. There are 9 seasons of Gunsmoke for radio. Now, the Gunsmoke for radio episodes essentially are transported over and used for the first 6 seasons of Gunsmoke, where it was a half-hour black and white television show. So if I was to rate everything I'm going to talk about today, my favorites are the Gunsmoke radio shows, all of Gunsmoke. Then my second favorite is not the half-hour episodes. They would probably be the hour-long black and white episodes. After the half-hour episodes, 6 seasons, then Gunsmoke changed again and became a black and white hour-long show that was similar to the half-hour. It just had a little more breathing room. And I really like those shows. So there are 5 seasons of black and white. The first 4 are the ones that I would place at the very top of Gunsmoke's history. And I think what's interesting about this is I think Burt Reynolds will be very happy with where I put those episodes, because his complete stint as Quint Asper falls right in those 4 seasons. He was in 3 of those 4 seasons, and he was only in 3 seasons of Gunsmoke. So they're not my favorite because of him, but he definitely adds to it. He's an interesting character that he has. Unfortunately, of those hour-long episodes, the only places to catch them right now are if you have CBS All Access. They have the first 2 black and white seasons. And then the next 2, I don't think they're being shown anywhere. So the only way to get them is by buying the DVD sets, which I just got for my birthday. My wife picked them up. And so I have all of season 9 and all of season 10, which are the last 2 seasons that I think are the best 4. Like I said, all the black and white, first 4 seasons of black and white. Then the 5th season of black and white, they lose, or choose to lose, they go a different direction. Norm Macdonald stops being the producer of the show. Meston doesn't write any more episodes. His very last episode he writes for Gunsmoke is the very last episode of season 10 of Gunsmoke. Then the next 10 seasons are completely different. And the next 10, I think of as the same. I think of them as being one package. And those 10 seasons start with the last season of black and white, and then all of the color seasons. that last season of Black and White, of course, the people that like to watch the color episodes and enjoy them don't get a chance to ever really see that season, and it's really essentially the first season of the change in direction of Gunsmoke. How I describe those seasons I call it Gunsmoke Love Boat. It's where the guest stars become the thing of the show, and our hosts for the episodes, essentially, like Captain Stubing and all that, it becomes Matt Dillon and Kitty and Doc and Festus. They're in the shows. They're just not featured as much as they were before, it seems like. And those episodes just don't do as much for me. So I would put those as last, and they're the ones that are most seen on television. So I guess my order would be last being the color seasons, including the last season of the hour-long Black and Whites. Then would come, I guess, the half-hour Black and Whites. Then a notch up from that are the hour-long four seasons of the Black and Whites, the first four. And then a notch up from that is the radio show. And that's how I would break down the whole series of Gunsmoke. And it's kind of nice in a way. With 20 seasons, it'd just be too much to deal with if you were trying to look at it in one lump. But by breaking it up this way, you have a bunch of separate shows in its own way. Anyway, I hope that all of you enjoy Gunsmoke in all its various ways that you can see it and hear it. And I'm glad we have these great episodes of Gunsmoke that we can bring to you every week. So I hope you're going to enjoy this one. Also, I hope you're going to enjoy the Have Gun Will Travel that follows behind this. So we have them all linked together. So listen to both of them. Both have been wonderful sound quality. And we'll see you guys next week. Enjoy Gunsmoke and try and find those hour-long Black and Whites. They're pretty cool.
Gunsmoke, brought to you by L&M Filters. This is it. L&M is best, stands out from all the rest. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
I sure do hope things... Mr. Dillon, are you listening to this?
What? Oh, yeah, sure. Go on, Chester. Go on.
And I sure do hope things has been good with you like they has been with me. Take care of yourself. Maybe I will come up to see you one day soon, your loving brother Magnus. And then down at the bottom he says... Your Uncle Will got tromped on by a cow last week. Well, now, ain't that nice, Mr. Dillon?
What do you mean about Uncle Will?
No, I mean getting this letter from Magnus. It's real thoughty of him.
That's the first one I remember you getting.
It's the first one he's wrote. To me, at least. Sure, it's funny, though. I never knew that boy could write a lick.
Well, maybe he's learned since you saw him last.
No, I don't think so, because Magnus don't hold with schooling.
Uh-huh.
No, sir, none of my kinfolk does. Why, my ma says all a body needs know is how to cook, care for your own, and get to the church.
She must have made your pa a very good wife.
I don't know as he ever said. He ran off when I was only 4. Him and ma never talked to each other much.
You the marshal, mister?
Why, yes, ma'am, that's right.
I'm Nancy Creed.
Well, come in, please. This Chester Proudfoot, Miss Creed.
How you do, Miss Creed?
Marshal, I come to see you because my pa's going to shoot somebody dead.
What?
I want you should stop him.
Well, who's your pa going to shoot?
Fella that worked for him a spell. Name of Ben Tolliver.
Now, why's your pa after him?
Ben run off last night and took one of pa's studs. Pa says he was just about the best stud pa ever saw.
Where do you and your pa live, Nancy?
About 20 miles from here. Out along the Arkansas.
And you think this man, this Ben Tolliver, came into Dodge, huh?
I don't just think it, Marshal. I know it. So does Pa. Ben always said he was coming here.
I see.
So I sneaked away this morning after Pa went down the corrals to come tell you. I figure you be the fella to see, being Marshal and all.
Nancy, look, if this man stole one of your pa's horses, why doesn't your pa come in here and tell me about it? He could swear out a warrant for Tolliver, and then I could arrest him.
Pa don't want to. He says he'll take care of his own troubles. You think you can stop Pa from shooting Ben?
Well, I can sure try. Tell me, what does your pa look like?
Look like?
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know your pa, Nancy, but if I knew what he looked like, then I could watch for him, you see.
I never thought about pa's looking like anything, except just pa.
For instance, how old is he?
I don't know, he never said.
Well, what would you guess?
He's kind of gray. Then he's always looked like that.
Anything else?
He's got a bad leg from where a horse kicked him, and his jaw's busted some.
Well, that don't sound like he should be hard to find. Not with a limp and a lopsided face. Why, my gracious, even I could
okay,
find a man with
Chester,
a limp.
Okay, Chester, all right. Nancy, I'll watch for your pa, and if he does come into Dodge, I'll have a talk with him.
Huh? You do that, and I'll surely thank you, Marshal. Bye.
Goodbye.
Say, Marshal.
Yes.
If it helps, Annie, I know where that Ben Tolliver is.
Oh, for everyone.
You do?
Right there at the Long Branch Saloon having a beer. You know where I mean.
Yes.
I seen his horse tied outside, so I went up and looked through the window, and he's there right now.
Well, why didn't you tell me this before, Nancy?
Never thought of it. Well, you'll do something about Pa now, won't you, Marshal?
I declare she don't know get up from whoa, does she, Mr. Dillon? She's kindly pretty, but my gracious...
Come on, Chester. Let's go have a talk with Ben Tolliver and find out what this is all about.
This is it. L&M filters, it stands out from all the rest.
Miracle tip, much more flavor.
L&M's got everything.
It's the best.
Yes, L&M's got everything. Superior filtration, superior taste.
Superior filtration because of L&M's superior filter. White, all white, pure white. The purest tip that ever touched your lips.
Superior taste, because of L&M's superior tobaccos. Tasty, full of flavor, light and mild.
No doubt about it, L&M is America's best filter tip cigarette.
This is it, L&M filters.
L&M's got everything.
It's the best.
sure didn't have no hankering to come with us.
And I think she was afraid we might run into her paw.
She sure lit out for home fast enough. She just ain't very bright, is she, Mr. Dillon?
Well, she seems to know right from wrong, Chester. That's more than some people.
Yes, sir. You want me to come in with you?
Yeah, but stay by the door while I talk to Tolliver, huh?
How are you going to know which one's him?
Well, there won't be more than three or four people in there this time of day.
You reckon that's him sitting at the table over there?
Well, it could be. Has your name been Tolliver?
That's right.
My name's Dillon. I'm a marshal here in Dodge. Do you mind if I sit on?
Please yourself.
Yeah, thank you. Girl named Nancy Creed came into my office a little while ago.
What'd she want?
She says that her pa's looking for you.
Oh?
Says he's going to shoot you.
Shoot me?
Yeah, he claims that you stole one of his horses. Is that right?
He owed me 4 months' wages and he wouldn't pay me. So I took a stud horse I'd broke.
Was it your horse?
I figured I had something coming.
You can't take a horse that belongs to somebody else, no matter what you figure.
Look, mister, I caught that stud horse when he was running wild out on the range. I brought him into old Creed's place and broke him myself. I put 3 months' work into that stud and on my own time of an evening.
Creed says it was his horse and you stole him.
No such thing. Besides, he said he'd pay me $30 a month, then he threw me out without a penny.
Now, the girl didn't tell me anything about paid being due you?
Nancy wouldn't know about it anyway. Her pa don't tell her nothing. She just keeps the place redded up and cooks for him and the like.
Well, come on, Ben.
Come on where?
I'm going to take you to jail.
Jail? What are you putting me in jail for?
And if what Nancy says is true, Creed's coming in to look for you. Putting you in jail's the best way I know of to stop a fight.
But I ain't done nothing wrong, Marshal. Not the way I see it.
You'll only be in jail till I get this straightened out. Later this afternoon, I'm going to ride out and have a talk with Creed before he decides to come into town.
It sure is hot out here, ain't it? There ain't a speck of shade for miles around.
Well, if he's breaking wild horses out here, he doesn't have time to worry about the heat.
I wonder if that fellow Ben Tolliver was telling the truth.
Yeah, there's no way of knowing until we talk to the old man.
No, sir, I guess he ain't. Say, he's got some pretty good-looking stock down them pens, ain't he?
Yeah, there's good stock running wild on the prairie. If a man knows how to catch him, he can make out fine. Well, we better leave our horses here, Chester.
All right, sir.
Don't be banging on the door. I seen you coming.
You Jake Creed?
That's right.
Well, I want to talk to you, Creed.
Who are you, mister?
Marshal Dillon from Dodge.
Cooler out there than in the house. I'll come out.
What is it you want?
I want to know about Ben Tolliver.
That fool Nancy run to Dodge and told you, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, since you did, I won't try to fool you. That boy stole a horse of mine. I figure in a couple of days I'll go after him.
Go after him?
Find him and shoot him.
Now look, Creed, you just can't shoot a man down.
Why not? He's a horse thief.
If you want to swear out a complaint, I'll hold him for trial.
I ain't got time for all that foolishness. He stole a horse, so I got cause to shoot him.
Now you listen to me, Creed.
I don't have to listen to nobody. Being a marshal, you're all filled up with laws. But I ain't got time to mess with that. No, just shoot him.
Creed, either you come into Dodge and swear out a complaint against Tolliver, or you forget about the whole thing.
I got better than 40 range horses out here, only half broke. I can't be wasting time fooling around with no trial.
Did you owe that boy money?
Of course not. Everything he did, I had to show him how. The way I see it, he should have paid me.
He worked out here for you for 4 months, right?
You could say that.
Well, he told me that that stud horse was his.
Well, since he caught him and broke him, I guess he'd figure it that way. But Ben was working on my place and taking my food. That stud's mine.
Now, the law might not agree with you, Creed.
I know that, Marshal. That's just why I'm going to handle my own trouble. Not mess around with the law.
Look, I've tried to tell you, Creed, and I'm going to tell you once more real plain. You shoot that boy and you'll hang for it. I don't care what you think the right of it is. All right, come on, Chester.
And maybe I won't shoot him. Maybe I'll fix that boy good some other way. Him and that stud horse he's so proud of.
Miserable old buffalo is as mean as an acre of snakes, ain't he?
Yeah.
What are you going to do, Mr. Dillon?
Well, I can't keep Ben Tolliver in jail forever if Creed won't swear out a complaint.
No, sir.
I'll just have to turn him loose in the morning and then hope they don't run into each other.
Maybe you could run Tolliver out of town.
Nah, it wouldn't do any good. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. Well, let's move along. We got a lot of ground to cover. Come on. Well, you're free now, Ben.
Thanks, Marshal. Being in jail overnight makes a fella kind of ouchy.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry about that. I did it to save trouble.
I know, Marshal. I don't blame you none.
What you gonna do now, Ben?
Well, Chester, I thought maybe I could find myself a job of work somewhere.
Yeah, what kind of work?
All I know is horses. There ought to be some spread near here that could use a hand.
Well, if there's anybody looking for a hired hand, Sam down at the Long Branch, you'd know about it. He's the bartender there.
I'll tell you what, I'll walk down with you if you like, Ben.
Oh, thanks, Marshal.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, what is it, Chester?
You could just have a beer while you're down there talking.
Yeah. Okay, Chester, you can come along, too. Come on.
Thank you. Say, Mr. Dillon... That was a good idea. I'm glad you thought of it.
Well, thank you, Chester. Where are you from, Ben?
California.
No.
California?
What are you doing in Kansas?
This is the cow country, Marshal. California just don't have the spreads.
Yeah, but all that gold out there.
The gold rush was 20 years ago, Chester.
Well, I know that, but there might just be a little left laying around.
I sure didn't find any, Chester.
Well, maybe you didn't know where to look.
All I want is to have my own piece of land, raise good stock, maybe get me a wife. I might even go on up to Wyoming sometime. I hear that's good cattle country, too.
Well, I don't see Sam nowhere.
No.
But here comes Miss Kitty.
Hello, Matt. Chester.
Hello, Kitty. Hello, Kitty. Kitty, this is Ben Tolliver.
Pleased to meet you, Kitty.
We came down to talk to Sam.
And have some beer.
Well, I can get you the beer, Chester, but Sam's down at the depot with a wagon.
No.
Shipment of rye whiskey's coming in on the Santa Fe this morning.
Oh, I see. You're up kind of early, aren't you?
Sam asked me to take care of things till I got back. I can sleep this afternoon. Come over to the bar. I'll get you some beer.
Okay.
My, you make a pretty fancy bartender, Miss Kitty.
Well, a girl's got to have an ace up her sleeve, Chester.
Yeah, but... What?
Never mind, Chester.
Well, what are you doing in the saloon this early?
Well, we come down to ask Sam if he'd heard about anybody needing a hand.
Yeah, you see, Ben here is looking for a job.
Well, what sort of job, Ben?
On a ranch somewhere, Miss Kitty.
You work around stock much?
All my life. Just about.
Yeah, you see, he was working for Jake Creed up until yesterday.
Jake Creed?
Yeah. You know him?
I know about him. Only a few months back, some cowboy was giving me a half a dozen reasons why I ought to kill him.
He must have been the fellow Jake threw out just before I come along.
You probably stayed with him about 3-4 months, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Then he started some argument, you had a fight, and he threw you out?
That's about the right of it.
And no pay into the bargain. Honestly, Matt, I don't know how Creed gets away with it.
Well, I guess there's always somebody new drifting by who doesn't know his reputation.
What did you argue about, Ben?
Oh, a little bit of everything, Miss Kitty. But mostly on how to rope.
How to rope?
Yeah. He says when you're working stock, the only way is to tie hard and fast and not dally.
Well, I sure couldn't argue that.
No, Kitty, you see, hard and fast means that you tie the end of your rope to the saddle horn, you see.
And when you dally, you just hold the end of the rope in your hand and twist it around the horn a couple of times.
That's right.
That way, if the rope gets tangled up in your mount's legs or yours, you let go and you're free. There ain't a way to get dragged if you dally.
You mean old Creed don't believe in dallying?
No, ma'am.
Oh.
Well, most of the fellows don't think it amounts to much, but they do some in California.
Uh-huh. Well, they sure don't in Texas.
Creed says that nobody who knows anything about working stock could ever rope anyway except hard and fast.
I'm glad I make a living in here.
It sounds complicated, I guess, Miss Kitty, but it ain't to a horseman.
Well, no matter what the argument was about, he should have paid you, Ben.
Oh, Ben, you got any money at all?
No, sir.
Here, I'll give you $5, and you can pay me back when you make it, huh?
Thanks, Marshal.
Well, as long as you're paying, don't forget the beer, Marshal.
Yeah, sure. Here you are.
Thank you.
Yeah, Sam won't have to worry about his bar, not with you behind it, Kitty.
Well, this bar pays a good part of my salary.
Marshal, I think maybe I'd better go down and have a look at my horse. Make sure he's been watered this morning.
Oh, Moss would take good care of him, Ben.
Well, I think maybe I'll just walk down there anyway.
Can I go with you? I'd like to see your horse.
Sure.
Ben, you come back later this afternoon. Sam will be here then. We can talk about a job for you.
Well, thank you, Miss Kitty.
He seems like a nice young fellow, Matt.
Yeah.
What's the matter?
I was thinking about Jake Creed, Kitty.
What about him?
Now, he's got something on his mind. He'll try to get to Ben Tolliver's some way.
To you, to the thousands of smokers who are changing to L&M every day, to the millions who now smoke L&M, here is your assurance. L&M gives superior filtration because of its superior filter, superior taste because of L&M's superior tobaccos. Yes, L&M tobaccos are tasty, full of flavor, yet light and mild. And L&M's superior filter is the purest tip that ever touched your lips. It's white. All white. Truly the miracle tip, because when it's added to L&M's superior tobacco, it actually tones up the taste, actually improves your enjoyment of this great cigarette. Yes, L&M's got everything. Superior taste, superior tobacco, superior filter. That's why it's America's best filter tip cigarette. Try L&M today.
In the next 3 or 4 days, there was no sign of Jake Creed around town, and I began to breathe easier. Ben came in one morning and said that he'd found a job out at the Walker place and that he was going to start the next day. And I was glad for him. But then trouble came.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, what is it, Chester?
Mr. Dillon, he's gone.
Well, who's gone?
Ben Tolliver. He took a horse from Moss Grimace and he's headed out for the Creed place. He says he's going to kill him.
Oh, what for? What's it all about?
Well, this morning I walked down to the stable with Ben to kind of say goodbye-like. And that's when we saw it. Oh, doggone it, that poor old stud.
Saw what, Chester?
Marsh told us he'd seen old man Creed out and back by the corral, but he didn't think too much of it.
Chester, what happened?
That mean old devil hamstrung Ben Stud, Mr. Dillon.
Hamstrung him?
He cut both hind legs. Oh, that horse couldn't budge an inch out of his tracks. Ben just stood there, real stony-like, looking at the stud, and then he shot him. He didn't say a word, just turned and walked away with a funny kind of a look on his face.
All right, come on, Chester. We'll ride out to the Creed place before Ben does something he'll be sorry for.
Marshal.
Is your pa here, Nancy?
No, he's down in the catch pens. It ain't time to eat, so he's working.
Uh-huh. Nancy, have you seen Ben Tolliver?
Sure did. He rode up here a few minutes ago, wanted to see pa. I told him pa was down the corrals. He just went down there.
Come on, Chester.
Well, if you're going down to talk to pa, I'll go with you. He goes down to the corrals for sunup and don't come back till time for dinner. What you want Pa for, Marshal?
To keep him from getting killed.
Who'd kill Pa? You don't...
That came from the corrals. Come on, let's go.
Mr. Dillon, look. Out there in the middle of that catch pen.
All right, Tolliver. Hold it right there.
I ain't moving.
All right, give me your gun.
What for?
You're under arrest, and this time you'll stay in jail.
Ben, why'd you shoot my pa?
I didn't, Nancy.
Well, then who did shoot him?
Nobody shot him, Marshal. I'm trying to tell you. Jake was already dead when I got here. It was the horse I shot.
What?
See for yourself. Looks to me like Jake's horse got tangled up in the rope while he was working a Mustang. The horse got throwed, and Jake was trapped under him, and the Mustang drug them both. It killed Jake. His horse had two legs broke, so I shot him. That's what you heard.
Well, looks like you're telling the truth, Ben.
I am, Marshal.
Poor old Pa.
I always told Jake he shouldn't work wild horses alone. He ought to have somebody snub for him.
Pa always did have a mind of his own.
He sure did. That old devil.
You should be glad he did, Ben. It saved you from hanging.
Now our star, William Conrad.
Thank you, George. You know what I like about L&M's is they're mild and mighty easy on the draw. When you get right down to it, no filter stacks up with L&M's pure white miracle tip for quality or effectiveness. Darn good smoke. See for yourself. L&M stands out from all the rest.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The special music for Gunsmoke was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Sam Edwards, Eleanor Tannen, and James Nusser. Harley Bear is Chester, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty.
Put a smile in your smoking. Next time you buy cigarettes, stop. Remember, only Chesterfield is made the modern way with Accuray. This amazing quality detective electronically checks and controls the making of your Chesterfield, giving a uniformity and smoking quality never possible before. For the first time, you get a perfect smoke column from end to end. From the first puff to the last puff, Chesterfield smokes smoother. Chesterfield smokes cooler. Chesterfield is best for you. Next time you buy cigarettes, stop. Remember, Chesterfield is made the modern way with Accuray.
Put a smile in your smoking, just give them a try. Light up a Chesterfield, they satisfy.
Remember, listen again next week for another transcribed story of the Western Frontier when Matt Dillon, Chester Proudfoot, Doc, and Kitty, together with all the other hard-living citizens of Dodge, will be with you once more. It's America growing west in the 1870s. It's Gunsmoke, brought to you by L&M Filters.
Have the fastest boat on the river. But someone tried to stop you from winning this race before you even left the wharf in New Orleans.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
You care for another drink, Mr. Paladin?
No, thank you very much. You go ahead, though.
Well, no, I guess I've had enough for the night, too. But
Colonel Tolliver, why did you select me? Surely there are men along the river who can suit your purpose.
Well, of course there are. Good men, too. But they're too well known. I want a stranger for this job, a new face.
It seems a lot of trouble and expense to go to.
Nothing is too good for the Queen.
Very well, then, since you are agreeable to my terms, I am agreeable to the engagement.
Excellent, sir, excellent. We shall look forward then to seeing you in New Orleans by the end of the month.
Hmm? Not later than the 30th.
Fine, fine. Well, I'd better get up to my room and pack if I'm going to leave in the morning. Good night, Mr. Paladin.
Good night, Colonel Tolliver. Have a nice trip.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, boy, you can come out from behind the palm now. The colonel's gone.
Oh, you saw me, Sir Paladin. I was listening.
Naturally.
You go to work for a queen?
Yes, the biggest queen you ever saw.
Oh, what country is she queen of?
Oh, not a country, hey, boy. She's a Delta queen.
Delta queen? What is that?
Mississippi riverboat. The fastest Mississippi riverboat since the Robert E. Lee.
What you do with riverboat? You be captain?
Oh, no, hey boy. I'm going to be her bodyguard.
Have you noticed, Minna, the new houses all seem to be on one floor?
I'd like that. With nagging backache and the muscular aches and pains I've had lately, it's no fun climbing stairs.
I know. With nagging backache, all I'd want is relief.
How?
Try Doane's pills.
Right. Doane's pills are an analgesic and mild diuretic to the kidneys. Nagging backache, also headache, dizziness, and muscular aches and pains, may come on with overexertion, emotional upsets, or everyday stress and strain. Doane's pain-relieving action is often the answer, and they also offer mild diuretic action through the kidneys. So if nagging backache is making you feel worn out, tired, and miserable, with restless, sleepless nights, don't wait. Try Doane's Pills, used successfully by millions for over 60 years. See if they don't bring you the same welcome relief. Get Doane's Pills today. To save money, buy Doane's Big Economy Size.
It was a big event, no question about it. The posters were plastered all over New Orleans. Steamboat race, they screamed. New Orleans to St. Louis, between the Packets, General Stonewall Jackson, and the Delta Queen. Excitement was electric, and the betting ran high. From the lowliest freed slave to the most austere Creole banker, everyone had a favorite. And most of the money was on the Delta Queen. She was a beautiful thing to see, a floating palace rising white and shimmering above the levee, her two stacks belching out the black pitch smoke, which advertised her imminent departure.
Well, Mr. Pelton, there she is.
Oh, she's a beauty, Colonel Tolliver.
I think she's the fastest boat on the river, and I mean to prove it. Come aboard. We'll get you settled. Here, boy.
Yes, sir?
Take Mr. Pelton's bag to his stateroom.
Yes, sir. I sure will.
All right, Mr. Pelton. Let's go topside and meet the captain.
And what makes you so sure, Captain, that somebody will try to do damage to the Delta Queen?
I'm not sure, Mr. Paladin, and I hope I'm wrong. But we must take every precaution. Too much depends on this trip.
You see, Mr. Paladin, the Queen is the odds-on favorite. The odds are so great, a lot of smart money is riding on the Stonewall Jackson.
Of course, there's no doubt about it in my mind. The Queen can beat the Stonewall Jackson in a fair race any day of the week. But it's a long way to St. Louis, better than 1,000 miles. And anything can happen out there on the river.
And I'll try to see that it doesn't, Captain.
I'm sure you will.
Any particular person you're suspicious of?
No one in particular, Mr. Paladin.
Any special instructions?
No, just mingle with other passengers, wander around the boat, and keep your eyes and ears open.
Ready to cast off, sir.
Very well. Shall we start, Colonel?
Oh, by all means. Come along, Mr. Paladin. Let's go up to the pilot house.
Colonel, I didn't see the Stonewall Jackson when we came up.
She's up the wharf a ways. I'll show you. There. See the side wheeler backing out into the river? That's the Stonewall Jackson.
Yes, but she's already cast off. Does that mean that she has started?
Oh, no. We start from an imaginary line drawn between that church steeple and that big clump of trees across the river.
You'll see how we do it, Mr. Paladin.
Standing by to cast off.
Cast off.
Aye, aye, sir.
Engine room.
Engine room here.
Astern half speed.
Astern half speed.
Captain, how long do you think it'll take us to get to St. Louis?
Well, the Robert E. Lee made it in 3 days, 18 hours, and 14 minutes, and we aim to better that considerably. Stop engines.
Stop engines.
Half-speed forward.
Half-speed forward.
Do we plan to make many stops, Colonel?
No, we'll put in at Natchez, Vicksburg, Memphis, and Cairo.
Stop engines.
Stop engines.
Now they go. Coming nicely abeam of the Stonewall Jackson. We'll signal him. She signals us, and all we have to do is wait for the start and flag in the cannon. See ashore over there, the flag's lowering. Engine room, stand by.
Standing by.
When the flag gets to the bottom of the pole, they'll fire the cannon, we'll be on our way. There she is!
Full speed ahead!
Care for another cup of coffee, sir?
Just a half, please.
You, sir?
No, thank you. Have a cigar to go with the coffee, Mr. Paladin?
Thank you. Wonderful aroma.
I have them specially made for me in Havana. Mr. Devereaux?
No, thank you.
You don't mind, ma'am.
Oh, please, go ahead.
Thank you. Well, We're clipping right along. Ought to pass Baton Rouge in another hour.
Can't go too fast to suit my sister and me, right, honey?
Oh, yes, Yancey. All I want is to get back home.
Oh, your home's in St. Louis?
Yes, and I've been away just too long.
What line of work are you in up in St. Louis, Mr. Devereaux?
Furs. Wholesale furs.
Yeah, it used to be a good business before beaver hats went out of style.
It still is.
Listen. Listen, something's happened.
The engines are stopped.
In the middle of the river? Why?
I don't know, but why don't you go find out, Mr.
Yes, Collins? I think I will. You coming?
No. No, I think I'll finish my coffee.
What is it, Captain? Why are we stopped?
Rudder cable parted, Mr. Paladin. Look here.
It's been cut halfway through with a hacksaw.
Exactly. And we put a strain on it going around that last sandbar she parted.
But can you fix it, Captain?
Of course I can. Take an hour or more. Meanwhile, the Stonewall Jackson will be out of sight. Mr. Paladin, you have any idea who did this?
Well, that's a little difficult to say, Captain, for one thing, it was done while you were lying up at the wharf in New Orleans.
How do you know?
The cut ends are somewhat rusted, except for the strands that have just parted.
So they are.
So it might or might not have been done by someone who's aboard now.
You've talked with our passengers. Do you have any suspicions?
No, not really. Now, there is one man. He hasn't bothered to introduce himself. He's an interesting fellow. I want to get to know him better.
You will look into it, won't you?
Indeed I will, Captain.
Well, enjoying your cigar, Mr. Paladin?
Oh, yes. Yes, thank you very much.
Have any idea who cut the rudder cable?
Oh, why should I?
Well, that's why you're aboard, isn't it? Guard against such thing?
Am I?
You needn't be alarmed, Mr. Paladin. I won't give away your secret.
I haven't the slightest idea what you're talking about.
Very well. Have it your way. But if you were looking for a ride on a riverboat, you needn't have come this far. You could have taken the Star of the Pacific from San Francisco up the Sacramento River to Stockton. No, Mr. Paladin, you're here because you're paid to be here.
How do you know so much about me?
Well, I was a reporter on the San Francisco Morning Call a few years back, and it was my business to know about men like you. And because I know you to be a square shooting fellow, I'm going to give you a little tip.
Oh, what's that?
Before I was a reporter on the San Francisco Morning Call, I was a reporter on the Virginia City Enterprise. And I recollect a young buck out there that could have been the twin brother of that Yancey Devereaux who shared our table at dinner. Only his name wasn't Yancey Devereaux then. It was the Sierra Kid. He had a frightening facility with a deck of cards. I could have told you then that boy would grow up to be a big-time gambler.
What are you implying?
I'm implying nothing, Mr. Paladin. And anyway, after that cute little trick with the rudder cable, we may just have lost the race already.
You think it's that serious?
Well, look for yourself. Upriver there. Not a light. Stonewall Jackson's miles out of sight. Bless my soul, fog coming on. This could be disastrous. There's that tricky crossing to be made just above Bayou Sara. And with the water at such a low stage. Come along, Mr. Paladin.
Where?
Oh, up to the Texas deck. The captain may need some help before this night's over.
Say, tell me, how do you know so much about the rivers, sir?
Well, Mr. Paladin, before I was a reporter on the Virginia City Enterprise, I was a Mississippi River pilot.
Oh, now, sir, you challenge my credulity.
I'm sure I do. But then I've found truth always was stranger than fiction. Evening, Rodney.
Oh, come in, Sam. Mr. Paladin, come on in.
Well, how's it look?
Bad. Very bad. I don't like it at all.
That crossing up ahead,
Has it changed much with the years?
Not a great deal. That sycamore snag over toward these banks gone.
Give you a little more room to get your stern around.
Yeah, but she's built up shoal water there, so it's still risky.
Any other changes?
Nope. Otherwise, she's just about the same.
Rodney, I'd be honored to take her over that crossing for you.
In this fog?
The only thing to do, either we get through the crossing in this fog or the race is over.
I appreciate this, Sam.
No. No, I am in your debt, my friend, to be at the wheel of a packet again. Thank you. Yeah, we're coming into the crossing now.
But how do you know? You can't see a thing.
Oh, you learn to feel the river, Mr. Paladin. You just know it. Larboard ledgemen below!
Ahoy the bridge!
Let's hear how much water you got under you.
Aye, sir.
Starboard ledgemen!
Aye, sir.
Let's hear your sound.
Aye, sir.
Mark three.
Well and good. Three fathoms. We still have plenty of water, Mr. Paladin. But she'll get shallower and shallower. Half speed, Rodney.
Half speed.
Half speed.
Water less twain.
Half less twain.
8 feet.
Cut engines. We'll drift up to it.
All stop.
7.5 feet.
This'll be a close thing, Mr. Paladin. We only draw 6 feet.
6.5 feet.
Wait. She's aground. Now, Rodney, full speed ahead.
Full ahead.
Full speed ahead.
Snatch her, Rodney. Help me hold her down.
All right.
We'll walk her over that tarnation reef.
She's over.
Yeah, she made it. Oh, she's a good boat.
8.5 feet.
Rodney, mind if I keep the helm for a while?
Sam, you've earned it. Keep it all night if you want.
Captain, may
yes,
I...
Miss Bell.
Orderless Wayne!
I've been talking to this remarkable fellow all evening. I didn't catch his name. Who is he?
Yeah? Well, that's Sam Clemens.
Mark Twain!
He's one of the best pilots that ever took a boat up the river.
And now, here are Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Bergen, why did you stop the car here?
Well, I want to talk to that farmer. Oh, mister.
Oh, you call me?
Why, it's Mortimer Snerd.
Oh, where? Oh, that's me.
Are there any General Motors dealers around here?
No, but we got some Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and Cadillac dealers, though. And some Chevy and GMC truck dealers, too.
Well, Mortimer, those are all General Motors dealers.
Oh, what do you want to see them all for?
Well, I only want to see one for Guardian maintenance.
Do they make that car, too?
No, that's a service that's available only at General Motors dealers' service departments.
Oh, I see.
Yes. And right now, they're featuring complete lubrications, quality appearance services, brake adjustments, and front-end inspections. It's quality work performed by GM-trained servicemen at a fair price.
Well, that makes good sense even to me.
Thanks to Mr. Clemens' superb pilotage, we were still in the race. But we still had the Stonewall Jackson to beat, and it was not until late the next day above Vicksburg that we caught up with her. I tell you, it was a brave sight to see that night. The two great steamboats plowing upriver neck and neck, their chimneys hurling sparks to the stars, their great paddle wheels throwing a cloud of spray. I stood on the hurricane deck watching them with Yancey Devereaux and his sister.
Oh, like two great thoroughbreds coming down to the finish line.
Quite apt, Nancy. Whoever takes the lead now is apt to hold it the rest of the way to St. Louis.
Care to bet on who that'll be, Mr. Devereaux?
I'm not a betting man, Mr. Paladin, but if I thought the Stonewall Jackson would win the race, I'd be aboard her instead of the Delta Queen, would I not?
I don't know. Would you?
I would. But whoever wins, we will be in St. Louis this time tomorrow, and that's all that matters to me. Now, if you'll excuse me, I think I'll be off to bed.
And miss all the excitement, Yancey?
I've had enough for one day. Good night, my dear. Good night, Paladin.
Good night, Devereaux. Yes, it is getting late. I believe that
Mr. Paladin, before you go, I wonder if you would be so kind.
Why, of course. What is it you wish?
With a window in my stateroom, I just can't seem to get it to come open. I wonder if you could free it for me?
Certainly. I'd be glad to, but won't it wait until morning?
Why, Mr. Paladin, is there another young lady aboard I didn't know about?
Oh, no, 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 no.
Then surely whatever beckons you can wait till you have done me this little service.
Of course. Which is your stateroom?
Oh, didn't you know? It's right down here. Come in, won't you? There now. I do declare this is a lot more cozy than that windy old deck. Now, isn't it, Mr. Paladin?
Yes. Yes, indeed, Miss Devereaux. Now, where is this window that sticks?
Don't bother with the window, Mr. Paladin.
What?
Put your hands up.
Oh, I see.
You will have the pleasure of my company for the next few minutes, Mr. Paladin.
While your brother is down below doing whatever he's doing to gum up the works of the steamboat and lose the race for us?
You will remain here with me until he returns.
Very well, Miss Devereaux. Say, that's an interesting roommate you have.
What are you talking about?
Over there, in the corner. That cute little rat. Here, Miss Devereaux, I'll relieve you of that gun, if you please. Somebody should tell your brother, or whoever he is, not to send a girl to do a man's job.
I'll scream. I'll have the whole boat down on you.
You just do that, honey. You just make it sound real good.
Evening, Mr. Paladin. Looks like we're pulling away from him.
You alone down here?
No, I got a couple of strikers. They're taking it easy behind the boiler.
Did you see anybody come down here? Any of the passengers?
No, sir.
Well, then he came down the after companionway. Come on.
What is it, Mr. Paladin? What's wrong?
Well, I don't know yet, but tell me this. If somebody wanted to wreck the engines, what could he do to them?
Well, he might jimmy up the walking beam if he could, or maybe tamper with the lubrication on the paddle wheel journal boxes.
Where are they?
Back here, through this passageway. Hello?
Wait. Devereaux. He's got a gun. Devereaux! Come down out of there.
Keep your distance, Paladin.
He's got the journal box open.
I said come down out of there, Devereaux.
Keep down. He's got a bucket full of nuts and bolts, metal junk, looks like.
I'm warning you, Devereaux. Come down, or I'll shoot you down.
Don't let him put that junk in that journal box, Mr. Paladin. It'll chew up the drive shaft and freeze it tight.
I'll stop him.
Merciful. He fell backwards into the paddle wheel.
So, even in death he wins. You'd better stop the engines.
Not now, Mr. Paladin. What good would it do? He's gone.
Yes, I guess you're right. We could never find him now.
Pepsi-Cola refreshes without filling. Why? Because it's truly light.
Charlie, you're forgetting something.
Wait, Kay, there's more. Yes, ice-cold Pepsi is the delicious refreshment that goes great at a picnic or a party.
But, Charlie...
And Pepsi goes fast. People like it, so keep plenty handy. There.
Oh, you did fine, except for one thing.
Well, I mentioned lightness and how Pepsi refreshes and how fast it goes.
You left out Pepsi sociability. You know the Be Sociable song.
But, Kay, I can't sing.
I can. Listen.
Be sociable. Look smart. Keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable, have a Pepsi.
Well, at least I can say this. Pick up an extra carton of Pepsi today.
Please do.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Paris and stars John Daner as Paladin with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was specially written for Have Gun, Will Travel by William N. Robeson. Join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun, Will Travel.